We're looking forward to what you're going to share, my friends. And even as they go, let's just have an adult moment, shall we? Let's pretend we've all moved up two rows. In fact, you know what? I think they'd like it if you did. Everybody move up two rows right now. Come on, move up two rows, everybody. Here we go.
Hello?
Come on, back row holdouts. I'm not starting until you move. Come on. I'll wait you out.
Hello?
See, the closer you get, the more the children will feel like you're engaged with them. So those of you who moved up, God bless you. And those of you who didn't, God help you. You're being stubborn and nasty, and shame on you. You know who you are. Well, there you go. You just got chewed out. Only a few of you got chewed out. You know who you are. All right. Well, I was thinking about of critical moments. We all have those critical moments in our lives. Maybe you remember a moment when you were in a job interview and you really needed this job and you could feel the anxiety raising and you wanted to say the right thing and you wanted to do the right thing. It was a critical moment and you knew that the future kind of hung on it. Or maybe you came to a moment when you or someone you loved dearly was facing death's door. It was a critical moment. You knew you wanted to be present and say just the right words to bring comfort, to bring closure, to do what needed to be done. Or maybe it was a happier time, a critical moment like a wedding or the birth of a child, and you were suddenly overcome by what this means for the future. And it hits you, oh God, how I need your help. David's life had some of those moments, and the scripture I want us to share for just a few moments was maybe some words that came out of a critical moment like that. Maybe the time he faced Goliath, maybe the time he was running for his life from his predecessor on the throne, maybe the time he was running for his life from his son who had betrayed him and wanted him dead. In each of these critical moments, God brings back to our heart and mind things that we have heard that are true about him, things that bring us comfort and blessing. Psalm 144 is one of those places. Bible teachers say that this is probably a critical moment, and as David is thinking back on his life, he's remembering how at those very nerve-wracking junctures, like battles, when his spear in hand, his hand was shaking, wondering, will the Lord preserve my life again? Consider how in moments like that, life flashes before you, and you suddenly realize what really matters and what you really need. We're going to read together these verses from the Psalms, and you can stay seated. I already asked you to move once, but here's maybe a picture of David as he's thinking about this. And we can almost feel the anxiety as we think of him in that setting, seeing the battle coming, knowing that he needs to count on God and others are counting on him and those around him. Would you read responsively with me these words? Praise be to the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle. Sorry for the misspelling. O Lord, what is humanity that you care for it, the children of man, that you think of them. Part your heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains so that they smoke. Reach down. Reach down. Reach, come on. Reach down your hand from on high. Deliver me and rescue me from the mighty waters, from the hands of foreigners. I will sing a new song to you, O God. On the 10-stringed lyre, I will make music to you. Deliver me and rescue me from the hands of foreigners, whose mouths are full of lies, whose right hands are deceitful. Our barns will be filled with every kind of provision. Our sheep will increase by tens of thousands in our fields. Blessed are the people of whom this is true. Amen. As David spoke these words and wrote them for us, maybe you'll recognize some of those words that appear in other psalms. Psalm 8, Psalm 18, Psalm 34. It's almost as if David's mind has gone back to those words that he remembered from those critical moments, and they remind him again of what he's asking God to do, of what God is really like. And here they are all again in this psalm in an amalgamated way at a critical moment. And what are the things indeed that David is praying for, that we pray for and need to pray for in the critical moments of our lives? Well, verse 4 talked about life is so fleeting. Our breath, life is like a breath, like a fleeting shadow. It's just gone so quickly. Where did the years go? How did that happen? As I think about those critical moments, I'm realized how long it took or how short it seems to have been and to get to this moment. Maybe you've crossed some of those junctures. You say, how did my child grow that big? How did I get that old? How did this all change so rapidly? Why, it seems like just yesterday. Life is like a breath. It flees from us. How quickly it goes. The next thing that we find in this psalm is what's written in 5 and again in 7. O Lord, come down, bend down. From your majestic high place from which you govern the universe, draw close to me now. I need a sense of your presence. And to tell the truth, that's why I bother to come to church on Sundays. I need a sense of God's presence, his supernatural reality right there in the thick of my presence and my life and my circumstance. And David prays it. And it's a beautiful thing for us to always pray, Maranatha, Lord Jesus, even so, come quickly. I need a sense of your power. I need a sense of your help. What a wonderful thing to pray for God's intervention. And then verse 10. Oh, I will tell. I will play on the 10-stringed harp. I will sing your praises. I will speak of what you have done. Indeed, it's not done until we tell what he has done. Sometimes I feel like I have to beg people to tell me what is God doing in your life. We should never have to draw it out. It should flow out. Let me tell you how the Lord helped me today. Let me tell you what he's speaking to me now. Let me tell you what I'm afraid of, but I sense God giving me that leveling peace over. For when we say it to each other and to those who fight alongside us, courage comes. The courage from the Holy Spirit. Yes, David, we want to be sure to tell what you have done. And then suddenly in verse 12, there's a change of tone. And it's no longer David speaking. It's as if everyone who hears it is saying, yes, we will ask this thing. And notice what it's about. It's about children, our sons, our daughters. And look what we as God's people say about these things. Oh God, let our sons be like well-nurtured plants. You know, this is the only place in the whole Bible this word is used. It's when the community speaks about what the male child should be like. We long for our sons to grow up and fill up the space God has for them and fill up every empty part, providing shade and protection and life for the things around them. That is their destiny. That is the beauty of their engenderedness in God's plan for them, that they would grow and fill up this wild space, a home for those who come underneath its branches, a place that stretches outward and upward always. Oh, for our sons to become people who stretch upward to God and outward to bless others. This is what's wanted. This is what the Spirit wants for every one of our sons, and even for those of us who are sons and fathers and even grandfathers ourselves. Are you branching outward and upward, male human? This is what's wanted of you. This is the engagement that's needed of you. And our daughters, Lord, what of them? Make them like pillars carved to adorn a palace, a place of beauty and respect, a place of strength and majesty, a place where people who live within find not just comfort, but luxury and good treatment and protection and honor. Oh, how we want our daughters to be those who are resilient, who can withstand any storm because God has made them beautiful pillars under which many can come and find not just protection, but treasured value, like the royals who live within them. Yes, God, let it be like that. Let it be like that for my daughters, for my sisters, for my mother, for my granddaughters and nieces. In critical moments of life, we're reminded of what God does and what we long for Him to do in the next generation. Thank you for coming today. You know, some people in our congregation said, I don't need to be there, it's the kids' program. And you look around, and they're not here, because they don't want to be bothered with that. They don't have kids. Oh, God, forgive them. God, forgive them. In the critical moments of life, let us always say, oh, God, bless our sons and our daughters. And even as they share this critical moment for them when their hands are jittery and they're not sure they'll remember their line, that you've moved closer and you've said, let me express love. Thank you for those of you who move forward. You have said, I want these sons to grow stronger and taller. I want these daughters to be sources of strength and beauty and blessing. What a wonderful thing it is. And some of us in the house today, we still pray for that. We pray for those critical moments when our sons and daughters would realize their need for Jesus and His power to change them and help them see all that they were made to be, but now they're making up their own ideas about what's true, living for the things of the world and not for God. And we grieve that they are like stunted trees and weak corners of a building, unable to bear all that they were made to bear and give. Oh God, let it be our prayer today for these and for those. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for your servant David, the holy words you uttered through his mouth. We're grateful for children and young people who are looking to say again in their critical moments, God is true, and here's what he's done, as we should, as they will. Father, we ask for your mercy. For some of us have sons and daughters who are reaching out in ways that have nothing to do with what you made them to be. Have mercy on them. We're thinking of them by name and by face today, and we're pleading that you would call them to yourself. We're pleading that you would help them to see the true nature of life. And if that has to be through a critical moment, then so be it, Father, for their reclamation, that they may know the joy, the fullness of life, and the hope that only you give. And we thank you for how you will change us to love and bless, and how you will change them to discover your love, your blessing, maybe through us, maybe through others you place in their lives. We're praying for them today. And we're also praying for these dear children you've given us. Some of them are our own children. Some of them are our grandchildren, and some of them are like those we've adopted in our hearts. Let your clarity, your peace, your joy, your power be poured out on them as they remind us of the great things you have done. How good you are. We look forward to what you'll do in them, and even in us. Oh God, deliver us. Let us speak your praises, for you are worthy of everyone, through Christ our Lord. Amen.